Want consistent color for every job? Milo's Pro Rewards members get a 20% paint discount on future purchases after paint annual qualifying spend reaches $3,000. Plus, order eligible in-stock paint and paint supplies by 2 p.m. for free same-day delivery by 8 p.m. Improving is easy at Lowe's. Excludes spray paint and mist tints. More exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Subject to change. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Same-day delivery valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. Details at Lowe's.com/same-day-delivery.
Right as I say that. Hey, everyone, it's Morning Invest. Welcome into the show. It is March the 9th. I'm Clayton Morris. So glad to see you. On today's show, we've got a stimulus update for you. The $1.9 trillion stimulus package is delayed. You're saying, what? Really? Yes, it's delayed. It could take another day to bring it to a vote. We were waiting overnight if that was going to happen. It didn't, so looks like tomorrow in the House of Representatives. Meanwhile, I don't even want to talk about that one. I want to talk about the new $4 trillion potential infrastructure plan with possible recurring stimulus checks. Yes, a fourth stimulus package is already coming together. And we're going to dive deep into it today because this is now the focus. We need to be turning away from that $1.9 trillion and be turning over here to the $4 trillion infrastructure package. Will it have bipartisan support, Republicans and Democrats coming together to pass this thing? What will Joe Manchin do? He's pushing for $4 trillion. So we'll see what happens in that regard. We'll dive deep into that today. Plus, in the Keeping Them Honest segment, we're going to be looking at the corruption of both parties and how they try to kill third parties in the United States. They slam the door, just like one of my family members just did, on other parties getting involved in politics and the political process. So we'll be covering that corruption and the latest bill that's moving through Congress aiming to permanently kill third parties in this country. So all of that and more on the show today. Get in your super chats now. We'll be answering your questions at the end of the show. So thank you so much for that. I want to tell you about our show sponsor today, our friends over at Care Of. Pretty awesome company. Take a look. You know, I took this quiz. If you go to Care Of and you have to like it, you know, nutrients is needs to be tailored for you. Like we're not all one size, you know, one size fits all. So all of Care Of's products are formulated with good for you, clean ingredients that are backed by science. It's a super transparent company about their research and their sourcing behind each one of their products. And your recommendations come in daily, individually wrapped packets that are perfect for getting back into a routine of getting the proper supplements and vitamins customized to you to make you feel the best today and supports you long term. So you take a quiz. See, you go through, oh, okay, I want to be more informed. I know more about it. You go through the whole quiz process right on their website. Asks about your diet, your lifestyle, your health concerns. And then it's like getting a one-on-one consultation with a nutritionist, all without leaving your house. And you can adjust the package of vitamins that are sent to you at any time. It's pretty great. And, you know, this is, you know, Women's History Month, right? So as moms, partners, business owners, women have a lot on their plate. Small routines like drinking a glass of water, taking your vitamins, adding collagen to your morning coffee can go a long way into helping you prioritize your health and self-care. So they support you with ongoing guidance and nutrients tailored to your specific needs. You can take the retake the quiz as many times as you need as your needs change. So high quality, fantastic content, an online quiz to help you figure out what's right for you. Now, here's what you're going to do. You're going to get 50% off your first order of Care Of. So go to takecareof.com and enter the coupon code INVEST50. Again, that's all you need to do is go to get 50% off. Go to takecareof.com, enter the code INVEST50. Fantastic. Thanks to Care Of for supporting the show. Really appreciate that. So welcome into Morning Invest, the only morning news show that's not run by corporate billionaires. If you want to support independent journalism and support our show, you can do so for free by subscribing to our free daily newsletter simply by going to morninginvest.com. Put in your email address and you'll be added to our list. And it helps us do what we continue to do. First thing in the morning, you can read the newsletter, get your email confirmation. Very easy to do. So morninginvest.com is the place to go. That's right. Okay. It's on to the stimulus news now. So first up, I want to bring you an update on the $1.9 trillion package. That's the House-backed version. The House of Representatives should be taking up that $1.9 billion COVID relief bill tomorrow. One day later than expected. Delayed. And I'm not sure what in the hell's going on. The House is waiting for the actual paper. Or perhaps a PDF. No, they actually have to physically bring the 600-page bill over to the House so that they can bring it to the floor for a vote. They haven't done that yet, and they haven't done it as early as this morning. They were supposed to do it yesterday. What's the delay? Is this not the most important piece of legislation that we could use right now in the United States? So if the House votes to pass it, which is not a sure thing, but is expected to happen, it could go into law by this coming Sunday, folks. Sunday. Of course, that's the deadline, right, to prevent that the unemployment lapse. And then that, of course, would kick off the $1,400 direct stimulus payments. Janet Yellen at the Treasury says that they're all eyes on focus on getting those checks out as soon as possible to low-income families. And the $300 per week in extra unemployment money through September. So that's on the $1.9 trillion stimulus package. Okay, that's the update. We're waiting today. We should get it over there today. Meanwhile, they also have some opportunities right now. If they wanted to, while they're waiting on this delay, House Democrats could step up and say, hey, I'm not going to vote for this thing until you add back in that $15 an hour minimum wage. They could stand up and show some cojones. Or as we learned yesterday, what is it, ganas?
Yes, ganas.
Show some guts. Ganas. Stand up. Stand and deliver. Stand up and do that. Push for the $15 an hour minimum wage that was ripped out of there because you guys didn't have ganas. They could, but they probably won't. So this thing is probably going to move through the House in the next 24 hours. It'll be signed into law, and we'll turn the page on that. And we'll all the mainstream media, MSNBC and CNN and all these guys will just praise the bill and ignore the fact that we removed $15 an hour minimum wage, reduced the amount of unemployment benefits from $400 down to $300, even though Nancy Pelosi passed a bill back in the spring that was $600 a week in unemployment benefits. Also, didn't actually give us $2,000 stimulus checks, took Trump's $600 stimulus check, and then added it to a $1,400 stimulus check and pretended like it was $2,000. So I'm not forgetting that. You shouldn't forget that. Okay, when you're watching mainstream media, and I hope that you don't, that they're going to be fawning all over this. That's exactly what's happening. Now, I think it's a massive bill, and I think it's important, but there's a bunch of pieces that should have been in there that weren't, namely the minimum wage. You have 24 hours. Try to get something done. See if you can do it. I'm not holding my breath. Let me know in the chat. Would you like to see Democrats hold up this process to get the minimum wage on there, or are you fine letting that go? Let me know your thoughts in the chat below. Next up, though, is the $4 trillion infrastructure bill. Pete Buttigieg, who's the new Secretary of Transportation, says that he thinks this could be an infrastructure year, all year. He said, given the level of energy and enthusiasm that exists in the country and on both sides of the aisle in Washington to get something done, Republicans and Democrats want to spend a lot of money on infrastructure. And that's good for you on multiple levels, which we'll get into here in a moment. So here's Pete Buttigieg last night talking with Nicole Wallace on the move for transportation, the infrastructure in the United States and why it's not necessarily sexy at all, but it affects all of us. Listen.
Well, from the infrastructure perspective, it is things that might seem unsexy at first, but are incredibly important. Here's another phrase that probably doesn't make your fingers tingle. Maintenance backlog. Doesn't sound too exciting, but what I'm talking about is the investments we need to get our bridges and our roads and other infrastructure assets, even our ports and railway, into the right kind of shape. The Society of Civil Engineers put out their report card. We got a lot of C's and D's in the United States of America on the condition of a lot of our critical infrastructure. So even just taking the funding we're going to need to fix what's broken. Look, I'm a former mayor, which means one of my greatest enemies and frustrations is the common American pothole. We got to be doing more to improve our roads. And then we can also talk about the really exciting, more future-oriented things around electric vehicles, around potentially high-speed rail, any number of things that, that Americans are excited about. But all of this, of course, is academic if we don't make it through this crisis. That's why the rescue plan remains the absolute top priority of the president and therefore of people like me, too, until the moment he signs it, which we hope is days or hours away.
And I know that this White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki, I believe on our first day, talked about how addressing inequities would be at the center of every policy. And, you know, there are privileges involved in having an alternative to public transportation. Talk about how that sort of plays a role in the policymaking, and specifically and urgently in making public transportation safe from COVID.
Simple example, and again, something that's at stake right now in this rescue plan. You know, it includes dollars to make sure we support our transit systems, which are hurting to the point that they may not be able to keep it up without help because, of course, so many people weren't able to ride and weren't contributing fares during these lockdowns. What that means, if we don't fix it, is that a lot of people are cut off from opportunity. And those who rely on transit are disproportionately likely to be Americans of color. That's just one example of how equity comes into play in transportation policy.
Yeah. We've talked about that here at length on this show. So when you don't have buses and you don't have the rail system working at full capacity, who does it affect? Does it affect Jeff Bezos? No. No, it doesn't. It affects low-income Americans disproportionately. So that was Secretary Pete Buttigieg last night on Nicole Wallace's Deadline White House show. And, you know, he hopes that there's an infrastructure year in front of us. And Congress keeps the money spigot on full blast. That's what he's hoping for, to start rebuilding roads, bridges, highways, airports, and other facilities around the country. So there's a couple of key takeaways that I want to go through this, because it really is now time to start talking about infrastructure. And the White House doesn't want to admit publicly or privately yet that this is its next legislative priority. But already, the Hill is already gearing up for it, according to reports. Here are a few key things that I want to pay attention to this morning. Number one is the price tag. So Congress is getting ready to approve the $1.9 trillion COVID spending bill. We could it could happen tomorrow, like I said. And it was done on a party line vote, right? No Republicans voted for this thing. So the question is, will Washington at this point have have a stomach for wanting to pass another massive piece of legislation? I mean, it could cost upwards of $3 to $4 trillion. I mean, heck, Joe Manchin was calling for $4 trillion. $4 trillion in infrastructure spending. Not out of line. That's the number. Somewhere in that wheelhouse of $3 to $4 trillion. So what will this price tag look like? Democrats, you know, floating $4 trillion, $3 trillion. Could be a bridge too far. What does the White House think of that? Does it put a top line number out to start the negotiations? You know, and it'd have to pass this Manchin test, this Joe Manchin test, as they call it now. Literally, this guy, there's like you have to run everything through Joe Manchin now. Is it going to pass the quote Manchin test? Get ready to hear that for the next 2 years. You know, would the West Virginia Democrat and other moderate Democrats in the Senate be able to say, yeah, we're going to go $4 trillion. That's a lot of money, but yeah, we're going to do it. Can they stomach it? Here's the thing about politicians, though. They love to have their names on a bridge. They love to have their name on roads, airports, ports. So if they can put their names on things and bring home the pork for their state, you bet your bottom dollar, we're going to see a massive infrastructure bill. Just look at West Virginia, for instance. I mean, here's a tweet on, well, let's discuss West Virginia economics. Main economical employer, coal. In 2015, West Virginia had an 18% unemployment rate, highest in America. Perhaps West Virginia should be focusing on infrastructure and renewable energy. Yes. Can West Virginia bring renewables into that state instead of relying on coal and fossil fuels? Can they do it? Good question. Joe, what do you think? The second thing we're paying attention to is the deadline. Look, it's already March. Now, the numbers that I'm hearing this morning are could have this ready for July 4th as a deadline for an infrastructure bill. It's possible, but tough. I think they need to set a deadline, and they need to set it for some point in the summer. Maybe it's June, maybe it's August to get this done. They did set a deadline because of the unemployment benefits of March 14th, and they got it done because they knew that deadline was coming up. I don't know about you, but when I set a goal and a deadline, deadlines are important. I tend to get things done by the deadline that I set for myself. What about you guys? Let me know in the chat. Like, if I know I have a thing on my to-do list that needs to be done by next Wednesday, like, I'm going to get it done. So they need to have it on a calendar. The next question I have is whether or not this thing will be bipartisan. Will Democrats try to steamroll Republicans like they did this last time? Or will they look for a bipartisan bill? Senator Joe Manchin, of course, he's basically the majority leader at this point, said he's not going to support an infrastructure bill that would use the reconciliation process. He said over the weekend, basically, that he wouldn't support a bipartisan Democrat-only package, a 50-50 Senate. So basically, Joe Manchin is now saying, we're not going to fast track. I will veto basically this fast track process.
It's kind of like he became that means, the new Harry Reid.
Right. Yeah. Former majority leader, Harry Reid. That's basically what he is.
That guy blocked everything.
I mean, he really is like the president now. I mean, Washington is waking up to the fact that Joe Manchin is essentially the most powerful person in Washington in many ways. I mean, the White House needs to be able to work with Republicans if they want to be able to work with Manchin on this. Then now they may try to convince Joe Manchin, convince him to abandon that pledge. You know, if Republicans just simply aren't interested. Like, I think what they have to try to do first is float this whole infrastructure plan, this whole infrastructure stimulus, and see where Republicans come down on it. If Republicans just want to sit on their hands and not be a part of it, then Joe Manchin may just say, screw them, we're moving forward without it. But I don't know. I played some of this last night, but it's worth repeating. Here he is over the weekend being pressed on basically wanting to kowtow to Republicans on this thing, on this whole infrastructure, this whole stimulus package, and how we need to keep referring to Republicans. Why?
There was nothing that I wanted more than to have a balanced bill. And that was something that came into it the last minute. I thought it was something that more than what we ever agreed on or intended. And these things happen when such a mammoth piece of legislation is put together. So I said, that's not something I can agree with. I don't think it's where we're going. It's what we're needing for put this package together in a very responsible way. So we started talking, and all of a sudden, everything came to a halt because they realized I would not vote for the procedure or the process that was in place at that time. But there's never a hill to die on. We can fix everything. All I did was try to make sure that we were targeting where the help was needed. We're going to make sure that we're recovering in 2022 also, so we don't have a lapse or a relapse. I've been voting the same way for the last 10 years. I look for that moderate middle. The common sense that comes with the moderate middle is who I am. A lot of the things I was able to get into that bill and target the bill the way we talked about came because of negotiations and talk with my Republican and Democrat colleagues.
So, yeah, we got to talk to Republicans. You know those guys that lost the election?
Moderate middle, a.k.a. Republican.
Right. As I said last night, moderate middle, you know what moderate middle means? It means you have no cojones. I mean, moderate middle is I'm bought and sold by billionaire corporations. That's what I'm moderate middle means. Moderate middle means you get screwed. If you're in the moderate middle, it means you get screwed. The constituents, the people of West Virginia, the people of America get screwed when you're in that moderate middle.
I'm just trying to bring balance. Just some balance.
I'm just balanced. I just want balance. That's it. I just want balance. I want my Republican colleagues to have their voices heard. Really? Did they give a rat's behind about your voice when they crammed through that massive tax cut for the wealthy? Did they care that, you know, they were going to add $7 trillion to the debt? Did they consult with you at all? Do they care? So the question is, will Republicans play along? We don't know. I mean, we know that Senator Susan Collins of Maine wants to be involved in this. She's the ranking Republican on the Transportation Committee. And she's very much interested in a bipartisanship approach. But will the White House really want to work with somebody like Susan Collins? Or they just maybe pretend they're talking to her and listening like they did a few weeks ago when they invited her to the White House? Like, we enjoyed having you over for some tea and crumpets, but we don't actually care what you think. Another question, earmarks has been being talked about quite extensively in Washington lately. These, you know, all of these earmarks are coming back. Republicans are in favor of it. Democrats are in favor of it. And once again, earmarks are hugely popular to members of Congress because that allows them to basically say, I'm going to build a bridge back home and put my name on it. The House and the Senate need to come to a final agreement on earmarks right now. They're not quite there yet. I've been watching that over the past week or so, but we'll likely see earmarks. Either way, Democrats will do them without Republican help. So we'll be following that piece. And then, will Democrats raise taxes to pay for this thing? Here's the thing, though. If they try to raise taxes and they try to put that corporate tax rate up to 28%, then I know a lot of Republicans are not going to be on board with that. Of course, that was part of the Trump tax reduction that dropped it down to 23%. But they're going to have to figure out how they're going to pay for this somehow. You can't just continue to borrow. I mean, we're at $28 trillion in debt. I mean, now we're going to add $4 trillion on top of it. They've got to find some way to pay for it. And I think raising corporate tax rate is fine. Tax on the wealthy. We'll talk tonight. You got to join me tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern because I'm going to be focusing on the wealth tax. And there's actually a number of big companies that are now supporting the wealth tax. So we'll look at the wealth tax, which Elizabeth Warren thinks could raise upwards of $3 trillion for infrastructure in the United States. That would virtually pay for it with this wealth tax. So if it is a Democrat-only reconciliation package, there's a good chance we will see some tax rate increases. But if Republicans are involved, probably not. I just don't know how else you pay for it at this point. And then another question I have is, I think Jake Sherman asked this question, and I think it's a good one, is how involved will the White House be? You know, are they going to be more involved in the sort of the day-to-day than they were on the COVID relief package? Because they really weren't. They kind of let that up to Congress. But an infrastructure package is a whole different animal because that means governors of every state are going to have to be involved. That means there's going to have to be a lot of discussions and it's going to have to come from, you know, you're going to talk with the industry leaders. You're going to have to talk with governors and mayors. The only way that this gets pushed through is if Democrats, if the White House can push this all the way through. They've got to use their power in the White House to get this pushed through. And then who's going to run the show on this? Like, who's going to be point? You know, is it going to be Biden himself? Is it going to be his chief of staff? Is it going to be Pete Buttigieg, who we just saw there, the transportation secretary? And that could be, you know, or maybe it could be Kamala Harris. They could put her in charge of this. So that's going to be interesting to see who runs point on all of this. And then really, I think the main question is like, how do you define infrastructure? Like if you're watching right now and you're like, well, Clayton, what does that even mean? It's a good question. And I really think this is at the heart of this. Like, what does infrastructure mean? Does it mean schools? Does it mean income inequality? Does it mean universal basic income? There are those members of Congress that are pushing for recurring stimulus to be included, recurring stimulus checks to be included as part of an infrastructure package, like a universal basic income. Yesterday, we featured here on the show, if you missed yesterday's show, shame on you, where were you? I missed you. We do this show every morning at 9 a.m. Eastern time, so subscribe to the channel if you're not already a subscriber. But yesterday, one of our viewers reminded me of that universal basic income program out in Stockton, California. It was for low-income Californians that lived in Stockton, and it was a test bed where they were providing $500 in universal basic income to help these people. And it was an overwhelming success. Same thing is true of the tests they've done on universal basic income in Canada, Finland, Germany, all a universal success. Turns out these people don't turn into freeloaders. They actually use that money to reduce stress and anxiety in their life and to get back to work or to find a full-time employment. It enables them to avoid that depression and anxiety that comes from having no money. So could infrastructure include a form of some sort of a scaffolding program to help people that are poor in this country? And that's a big piece right now from Bernie Sanders and Ron Wyden and a few other members of Congress are pushing for infrastructure to include income equality and a total revamping of our landscape around wealth in this country. So what is infrastructure? Like, what do you think it means? Just bridges, roads, potholes? You know, when Pete Buttigieg was mayor, like he was fascinated with the idea of like modernizing the sewer system with like high tech. That way it was so much better for the environment and was like a modern infrastructure, which if you're like, no one cares. Like people want to know how it's going to affect their family. Right. So when you're campaigning on this kind of stuff, it's actually the stuff that really matters to a community, but it's not the sexy stuff that makes headlines and is talked about. But it's, you know, it's really the important stuff. It's going to have to include a ton of green policies, by the way. You know, like wind and solar and geothermal and ending, you know, trying to remove fracking and reliance on fossil fuels in this country. You know, can West Virginia move in that direction? Like this tweet asks, you know, West Virginia economics was coal. West Virginia has an 18% unemployment rate, highest in America. Perhaps West Virginia should be focusing on infrastructure and renewable energy. Put a tax on the 1%. They're going to make billions anyway. What's 2 cents? We'll talk about the wealth tax tonight. So everyone is going to be involved in this plan because this is going to be a massive, massive piece of legislation. I mean, it's going to be, everyone's going to be involved in this. So we're going to see like, you know, exactly how many people are, how many people come to the table and are taking part in this. It's going to be massive. I'm excited to see what pieces are the calling cards of this. I mean, right now, I was excited to see that one of the big calling cards of the stimulus package, the current stimulus package, is the child tax credit. You know, that's a huge piece of it to raise millions of children out of poverty. So what will the big pillar pieces of infrastructure look like? What do you think that they should be? Let me know in the chat. Where do you come down on this? You know, do you think that they should be rail system? Like, I'm a big proponent of the United States. I would love a fantastic high-speed rail system. Look, we're the country that, you know, think about the expansion of the Transcontinental Railroad. When you think of rail systems, right, we think of America, even though we didn't invent them. We think about, man, the Transcontinental Railroad, you know, like moving west. Manifest destiny, growth, right? And we have such a terrible rail system in the United States. I mean, look at Japan, look at Europe. You can get to any of those cities in a short amount of time on a high-speed rail. Go in the back and have a delicious, you know, have lunch, have a cocktail, walk down the train, be there in no time. And in the United States, we have a terrible infrastructure. Awful. What about bus? What about public transportation? What about an electric, electrification? What about broadband? Making sure that everyone in America has access to the internet so that 12 million kids aren't left behind so they can't do virtual schooling. All of these things are a part of this, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. Nichelle Johnson says, we need a rail system and more buses. Yeah. WDW guy says, the rail system in Vancouver is amazing. Is it? I've never been. You know, I sort of picture this future, you know. Like there's this new show, this new Sigourney Weaver show where she's reporting as if she's like living in 2050, in the year 2050. And she's basically talking about the infrastructure and that like utopia was supposed to have already happened, right? Think about the Jetsons. Think about all of these things. We were already supposed to have this amazing infrastructure. like clean energy, clean cities, public transportation, where people movers. Remember, if you go to Disney World, you know, you go to the Magic Kingdom and you go to Tomorrowland and you take the people mover, which is one of my favorite rides. I love just sitting there, you know, the one that goes around the park, but it's not really a ride. It just kind of takes you around and gives you like a little tour during Tomorrowland. And it's like, yeah, you should be able to just walk in, get on something, and it moves you around, get off whenever you need it, moves it, just keeps it moving. All clean energy. That was a fantasy, a science fiction fantasy at Disney World, and we don't even have it yet. Surprising. It's time for Keeping Them Honest. So today we're going to be looking at the corruption of both political parties and how they try to kill third parties in the United States. Both parties are to blame for this. No one's off the hook. You know, instead of beating green candidates on legal issues, they use legal maneuvers to prevent them from even being allowed on the playing field at all. Like, wouldn't it have been nice during this campaign season for Democrats to argue with Green Party candidates and independents about the issues and win on those merits?
I just instead, want to point out one thing. You said that, but if I don't know if you read Twitter, but the Democratic Party said a vote for the Democratic Party is a vote for democracy. So just keep that in mind as you're saying this stuff.
Right. And if a vote for, by the way, if you read Democratic Twitter, a vote for the Green Party is a vote for a Republican, right? Why, or you're going to be throwing your vote away. That's the idea. You're going to be throwing your vote away if you vote for one of these guys. Instead of like having a discussion on the issues and winning on those merits, instead, no, what did the Democratic Party do? Yeah, they engineered the removal of the Green Party from the Pennsylvania ballot. Yeah, they filed lawsuits, remember? And then, of course, the state Supreme Court said, yeah, okay, fine. Fine. We'll support you. We'll support you, Democrats. We'll allow the Green Party to be thrown off the ballots. Here's what they did. Green Party candidate is ordered off the Pennsylvania ballot. That's how they roll. Republicans do the same thing. Here's what Republicans did. Texas Supreme Court rejected the Republicans' attempts to remove 44 libertarians from the November ballot. So that's what both parties do. Democrats don't want Green Party candidates. They don't want third parties. Republicans don't want libertarians. They don't want third parties. They want this entrenched money machine in Washington. This perpetual money machine that keeps them, you know, keeps the wealthy funneling money and corporate contracts and billionaires funneling money to these two corporate parties, while the American people get screwed and people that would want climate change legislation, meaningful change to Medicare for all of these things that we support here on this show, these progressive ideas. Democrats play lip service to it, and then as soon as they're elected, they turn their backs on it. Republicans are the same way. They say they pay lip service to the idea that they want to end foreign wars, and they want to be fiscally conservative, and they don't want our involvement overseas, which is what libertarians believe, right? Get out of foreign wars and so forth. So they pay lip service to that. And then when they get into office, what do? They increase the military budget. They spend more and they continue the wars overseas. So both of these parties can't stand the fringe candidates in the party because they take votes away from them, right? So unless we had ranked choice voting in the United States like they do in Maine, where it doesn't matter because you can vote your conscience. And then if that conscience vote doesn't win, guess who's down further on the list? You can pick your first choice, your second choice. You can rank your choices like Maine did. Number one, I want to choose Joe Biden. Number two, I want to choose Bernie Sanders. Number three, and if there's no 50% of the vote, then it moves to the second choice and third, and that's how it works. It's brilliant. So there's no throwing your vote away with ranked choice voting. Well, now, I want to call your attention to something you brought up yesterday, David, but I wanted to dive deeper into it today, is H.R. 1. H.R. 1 is the, here's what the Green Party website has to say about it. It's also known as the For the People Act, and it's basically sold as a way to get money out of politics, they write, and to protect voters. But as they say, it has several poison pills for democracy. And like the Green Party, for instance, like would be crushed. H.R. 1, for instance, quintuples the amount of money that green presidential campaigns will be required to raise to qualify for federal matching funds. Did you hear me on this? These parties don't have a lot of money, okay? So now, instead of just filing $5,000 in 20 states and $25,000, now they have to file to run for president, to be on the ballot, $5,000. That's what it used to be. Under H.R. 1, Democrats and Republicans want to raise it now to $25,000 per state. It's just a money grab, but it's a way to keep Green Party off of the ballot because now they have to raise so much more money. So the Green Party stands opposed to this, they say. They say a package that is sold as a voting rights bill would actually undermine everyone's right to organize electorally against the parties. Here's a highlight. H.R. 1 is sold as a way to get money in out of politics, and then that $5,000 to up to $25,000. A recent Gallup poll shows that a record 62% of U.S. voters said we need a new major party in the United States. How many of you watching right now think that we need a new major party in the United States?
I think we need.
Let me know in the chat. How many of you? I think so, too. I mean, look, I like to use Europe as an example. I mean, look at these different European countries. They'll have a political party that'll pop up out of nowhere.
You can in the UK, you can actually vote for the Pirate Party.
Arr.
I mean, maybe that's New Zealand, but there's a Pirate Party, and that's on the ballot.
Do you know
and
how much?
Seriously.
You know, in order to get the Pirate Party on the ballot, do you know how much it costs?
Six doubloons.
A buccaneer. So in addition to quintupling the money that presidential candidates must raise to get on these ballots, there's a whole bunch of other poison pills that the Green Party points out. It would also abolish the general election campaign block, the block grants that parties can access by winning at least 5% of the vote in the previous presidential election. So they get these block grants. It would also eliminate this provision that was created to give a fair shot to alternative parties that demonstrates significant public support. That's basically what it is. It would also replace the general election block grants, where each qualified candidate receives a set lump sum of public funding for campaign expenses. And that was, you know, matching funds through the election day. It's a huge step backwards, they say, for public campaign finance reform. I mean, it's designed to squeeze out alternative parties and independent candidates. That's exactly what this is. I mean, you eliminate the limits on donations and expenditures that candidates can receive and make. What kind of a campaign reform, finance reform is that? And then you're basically inflating the amount of money that the national party committees can give to candidates from $5,000 up to $100 million. Did you hear me?
That's not going to get abused.
It would inflate. Yeah. So now we can only give you $5,000, right? Now I can go from $5,000 up to $100 million. That's nearly a 1,000,000% increase. Think about party bosses would have unlimited power, and these elections would be just flooded with millions and millions of dollars.
Well, the thing is,
but this voter suppression is not.
It's like, hey, you guys want to, you know, there's all these fights to get rid of super PACs. Well, guess what? We don't need them anymore.
Yeah. I mean, look at this. $5,000 up to $100 million. I mean, think about what Citizens United and the Supreme Court did. I mean, it's crushed third parties, and it's made all of these super PACs, and people can just funnel all of this mystery money to these people. These super PACs are not paid for by the Biden campaign. But they're this like weird ghostly organization that's raising millions of dollars. I mean, look at the Lincoln Project. That's just one example. Howie Hawkins, I had a chance to sit down with Howie Hawkins and talk to him about this issue, this voter suppression issue. And, you know, he talked about being kicked off the ballot, being pushed to be kicked off the ballot in Wisconsin. Now, he was running for president, and he couldn't get on the ballot in certain states because the Democrats filed a lawsuit to kick him off. This is America.
Pennsylvania, they've been calling for mail-in ballots, right? Mail-in ballots, let's get it done. People in Pennsylvania would have had the opportunity to already start voting by mail, but they're delaying it because of this, just to kick you guys off the ballot.
Yeah, party suppression is another form of voter suppression. So when the Democrats tend to exercise, and they say, if we get Greens off the ballot, we're going to get more votes. And like I said, I think they discourage people. They get more disgusted at the two-party system. And they want to blame the Greens for these presidential elections, where it was suppression of the black vote that elected the losers of the national popular vote, George W. Bush in 2000, Donald Trump in 2016. There were well over 100,000 black voters who were disqualified either by voter purges or not counting their ballots in Florida in 2000. The Green Party didn't do that. It was the Republicans. That's who the Democrats should be fighting on this.
And yeah. They should, I mean, fight on the issues. Also, wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great to have a stage with Howie Hawkins and Ron Pauls of the world from the libertarian side, and so we didn't have to funnel them into the Republican or Democratic Party? Heck, if we had a really strong substantive third party, I mean, Bernie Sanders might be the president right now. But we don't have it. We've never had it. The closest we ever came to it was Ross Perot, who was self-funded billionaire who could do it. I've brought up this history lesson before, but even Theodore Roosevelt, who was one of the most popular presidents in American history, who was president for two terms, one of which he, the first term he got because McKinley was assassinated, so he took over, but he won the second term, and then he was going to run a third time. He did as the Bull Moose ticket under the Bull Moose Party.
What party was lost. Ross Perot?
That's a good question. What was Ross Perot?
I'm gonna look it up.
I forget. It was just independent. I think he just ran as an independent. I don't even know if there was a party. If I'm not mistaken, I don't even think he ran as an independent. And a lot of people blame, you know, him for George H.W. Bush losing to Bill Clinton. I mean, Bill Clinton did not have a majority of the vote. You know, he was not like an overwhelming victor. Wouldn't it be great to have?
Says he was independent before 1995, and then after that he was the Reform Party in 1995 to 2000.
Reform Party. Reform Party. Yeah. But, you know, in Europe, a party will pop out of nowhere. And they'll have like 30 different parties that are running.
Well, and the thing is, like, what's so different too is they don't just. I mean, yeah, you're still going to have your parties that are like, oh, that party doesn't, but they don't marginalize them. They still have a voice.
Right. Yeah, and guess what? A lot of these smaller parties end up winning. That's the thing. Like, if you're able to organize and you're able to, you know, and these parties, sometimes these parties are a time and a place. You know, like the Tea Party. Comes up for a short time, it serves its purpose and manages to throw out people like Eric Cantor in the Republican Party, some establishment Republicans, and then it goes away, disappears. So anyway, I think it's really important. Right on the front page, if you go to the Green Party's website, it's just gp.org. You can sign this petition to get rid of HR 1, which is this resolution. Calling it I love that they call it like the For the People Act, which is such a hoax. They call it these things, but it's really the opposite. It's not the For the People Act. It's for entrenched Republicans and Democrats to stay in power and to suppress other votes. So go to gp.org, and what you can do is put in your address there, and it'll help you find your local representative. And then basically you can compose the email right there in the website, and it'll send it right to your representative and say, please eliminate HR1. You can do that right from their website. Go to gp.org and fill out form, and it'll send it right to your representative. So awesome stuff. So thanks to the Green Party for putting that together. It's a great resource. All right, it's time for your news by the numbers now, shall we? I was talking about this a little bit earlier, but boy, Bitcoin on the rise, my friends. And your first number is 1% to 2%. That's the percentage of Bitcoin that Goldman Sachs is now advising their clients to hold on for retirement. You heard me right. Bitcoin is now being recommended by Goldman Sachs as a smart item to hold in your portfolio. That's a pretty big move. Going pretty deep into crypto. I'm going to tell you in a minute how you can get some free crypto, by the way, with a little strategy that I've used, and it's going to be helpful for you. I'll tell you in a minute how to do that. So stick around for that. Get yourself started with some Bitcoin. The beauty of Bitcoin, by the way, is you can buy any amount of it. You can buy like 1/10 of, you don't have to buy a $54,000 Bitcoin, which is the value of one Bitcoin right now at this hour. You can buy percentages of it. Doesn't matter. Next up, 10 pounds. That was the weight of this bad boy. A meteor that exploded over Vermont on Sunday. It was the size of a bowling ball, but it exploded with the force of 440 pounds of dynamite as it traveled 42,000 miles an hour. It was earth-shaking, according to news reports. And people called the police. They said it shattered windows, and people had their whole bodies were rattling as a result of how much force this thing created. So think about that for a second. A bowling ball size meteor.
So
it's only 10 pounds.
You know, it's great. Jennifer and I, what time was this Sunday? Because I don't think you would hear it on the West Coast, but we were at the dog park on Sunday just before it started hailing, and we heard an explosion that sounded like, and I was like, wow, thunder. But it never thundered again. I never heard any other noise. But it was nothing that was in that area. It's not at all possible you could have heard that across the country, right?
I don't think so. I think it was just not too far from Montpelier, Vermont. Like, so I think it's probably in that area where it came into the atmosphere. But with those hailstorms, though, I've been in those hailstorms before where, like, you don't see any lightning or anything like that, but you hear thunder, and it's, like, way up there, and it's like,
yeah,
boom.
But they only did it once.
So like, I've been in hail...
And Jennifer was even like, that didn't sound like thunder normally does, because it was like an explosion, but it was very in the distance.
Yeah,
probably just a coincidence.
It was near Montpelier, but yeah, people said it shook their windows, broke windows, and rattled. Like their whole bodies were like, ooh. What was that? Oh, it was just a meteor. But can you imagine a bowling ball sized meteor? That force, people felt it for miles, and it shook buildings. Can you imagine if it was, I mean, what killed the dinosaurs? Just think about that for a second. I was explaining to my kids the other day, they were trying to understand how that would happen. You think about the impact and then dust and for years in the atmosphere, blocking out the sun and killing everything. So just one little bowling ball meteor did all of that. Interesting.
It is very anyway. Interesting. I was just watching YouTube videos about meteors the other day. Like, I didn't even know this story, and I was watching on those because it's just really interesting.
Yeah, I find it fascinating. I find it fascinating that something's so small, and then just imagine if it's any bigger, like what damage that could do if it's the size of, I don't know, like a school, size of a bus. I don't know.
Lake.
Right. That's crazy. It makes you realize how fragile we all are, you know? You think about something like that. All right, next news by the number is 4%. That's how much of the world's cheese is stolen every year, making it the most stolen food. Most of it is black market cheese. I didn't even know there was such a thing as black market cheese.
I didn't either.
That's sold illegally to stores. It's not even stolen from the shelves by consumers. Also high on the list of stolen foods. Can you guess what else do you think is high on the list of stolen foods next to cheese? Let me know in the chat. What else do you think is
Doritos?
One of the high... Doritos? No, that's not on the list. Hurricane Force says stamps.com is awesome. Yeah, Hurricane, that was our sponsor yesterday. Someone says, Jesus Christ. Talking tax. Yeah, meats, exactly. Meat. Meat is number one, oh, behind cheese. Meat, then chocolate. Beef jerky. Someone says beef jerky, Robin.
I get the chocolate. I get that. Like, if I was ever going to steal food, it would be chocolate. I guarantee it.
Billy Stillman got it right. Alcohol. That's right, Angie. Alcohol. Booze. And then seafood is high on the list, too. And also baby formula. It's really sad right now during this pandemic. Like, people can't even afford baby formula. So they're having to steal it. It's awful. There are your news by the numbers. Let's open it up for some super chat time, shall we? Oh, by the way, I was going to promise you how to get some free crypto. So here's what you need to do is one of our sponsors, a longtime sponsor of the show, Webull. Here's how you do it. Sign up for a free Webull account, okay? Now you're going to get two free stocks. So you go to morninginvest.com/Webull. You'll get two free stocks just for opening up your account. Okay. And then you might get a Google stock, a Starbucks stock, other stocks. Anyway, you'll get two stocks. I don't know how much it'll be. It's valued up to $1,800. Okay. And then what happens is you'll get those two free stocks deposited. It usually takes about 10 days for you to get those free stocks. Guess what? Then sell them inside the Webull app and then convert it to Bitcoin. Because now Webull has Bitcoin. They have cryptocurrency built into Webull. So that's what I've done. Buying my bitcoins in Webull, and you can get some free crypto by doing that. I mean, Bitcoin this morning is up. Let's see, Bitcoin today already up to 54,000. 54,000. It was at 50,000 last night. So again, go to morning and it's up 7% at this hour. Up 7%. Go to morninginvest.com/Webull to get some free stocks. All right, let's open it up for some super chats. We got 8 new channel members today. So thanks for becoming a channel member.
All right, so we've got Jason Aubrey, $1.99. Love the lighting. Looks like lightsabers. Okay, maybe that's what you should do.
That's what my son said.
Put like silver. Just make them really giant lightsabers.
Yeah. And we're still tweaking everything. We got some furniture arriving, and we're going to be playing around with this. So I know a lot of people said they love it. Some people said, hey, it's different. I'm not sure I'm a huge fan. So I say, you know what? You'll probably just get used to it. It's like remember when Steve Jobs announced the iPad? People were like, iPad? Really? iPad? Now who thinks of that? Right? Now who's complaining about the name anymore? So I think that's kind of how it'll be here, I hope.
Jemai Count, $5. Do you think Congress won't read their own part of the bill because they will lose their seat?
I don't know what that means exactly.
When we said that they should be forced to read their part of the bill?
Yeah.
Which will never happen. They won't do that. They wouldn't want that publicity. That would be gone so fast.
Yeah.
No. Becky Harris, $4.99. I won't officially have student loan debt until 4/16. Any chance you think it'll pass after that? Fingers crossed. I want to obtain it, then get it wiped right away.
Wait a minute. Say that again. You won't have...
I won't officially have student loan debt until 4/16, April 16th. Any chance you think it'll pass after that? I want to obtain it, then get it wiped right away.
No, it's likely going to pass this weekend. I'm sorry to disappoint you. But hey, if you're already on the hook for the debt, if you've already like applied for it, you're already going to have this debt. It may be, we don't know the language yet. Hopefully, like we'll see the language in the next 24 hours, exactly what this will look like. Again, it may allow you, if you already have a contract for this debt, it doesn't matter that you don't like have the statement yet, you know?
Well, and also people need to understand that it's only federal loan debt. It does not apply to anything other than federal.
Yeah.
Sharon Taylor, $1 twice. Thank you. We got Rebecca LeBlanc as a new member. Welcome. Jermaine Kant, $10. Thank you. Trinity Mack, new member. Donna Wellman, $5. Why will it take 4 years to put minimum wage into effect if they're to pass it now?
Because they want a gradual increase. What the fear is that if they all of a sudden make it jump from $7 up to $15, that it would really upend the apple cart, that a lot of companies wouldn't be able to handle that much stress. Like they wouldn't be able to, oh my God, I have 10 employees. Now I have to basically double their salaries, every one of them. So they want to do it gradually so that it gives them time to adjust that over a period of time.
Hey, Corey, welcome back. Sorry about what's going on. Corey Jernigan has been a longtime viewer. I lost two good friends this month. So welcome back, Corey.
Oh, Corey, welcome back. Sorry to hear that, Corey.
Darnell Hibbler, $10. How about they push for 2,000 monthly stimulus, survival checks, retroactive back to March, and 600 unemployment retroactive back to March? Highly unlikely, though, term limits.
It'd be nice, but as I mentioned in the infrastructure bill, that the $4 trillion could see recurring stimulus checks. Now, it's not going to be retroactive, but it could be $2,000 per month for those that qualify. That's a big piece of what some members of Congress are pushing for. Again, infrastructure, you know, like how do you define infrastructure? Could be income inequality. It could be universal basic income. It doesn't have to just mean roads and bridges.
And I personally, I want to sometime have the discussion about term limits, because I'm not a fan of term limits for the simple fact that, you know, it's just an excuse to be lazy and not pay attention to what people do. Like, because if you get a good person, you actually fight, you get a good person in office, and then all of a sudden they're out. It's going to be constant election cycle, constant running and elections and all this other stuff. Whereas, like, if you had somebody that got in there and did a good job, you would want them to stay. The problem is people don't pay attention to what people do. These people keep getting in and doing bad things. And so you're thinking, well, just put term limits on them, and that's our lazy way to just get rid of them. You know, if you just pay attention and vote good people in, and that's what Clayton and I, like during the next election season, we're going to be holding these people accountable. You're going to find out like who you should be voting for here.
Right. We're going to be, you know, people on our show, we're going to be doing a lot of interviews here on the show. We're going to be diving into their records. So that's the goal. You know, on the term limits thing, I really think that, you know, that's what Joe Lieberman argued in his book. He wrote a book I read a few years ago called, he called it In Praise of Public Service, was the name of the book. And in that book, Joe Lieberman, who was, you know, Al Gore's running mate, Senator Joe Lieberman, argued that, you know, he doesn't agree with term limits because you can have politicians who spend their life trying to get to Congress to help, and then they're there, and then suddenly now they have to leave after 6 years, and that's it. And they actually can build relationships. He talked about that, building relationships. I don't agree with it. I think we need some form of term limits. I think you and I disagree on that. I think, you know, why do we have it at the presidency? And also this argument, though, that they're going to be continuing to run for office. That's all they do now. They're in a perpetual, that's what Andrew Yang talks about. You know, you're in a perpetual state of running for office. Like literally, even the moment you become elected, you get back in, you're immediately on phone calls raising money. You're raising money constantly. I think the answer is if we remove money from politics, maybe not even the term limits issue, but maybe like removing this money from politics.
I think that's the key.
Would be tremendous.
Yeah, I honestly think the money's the key because you have right now, you have politicians that become career politicians for the simple fact that they know that there's money in it. They know that they can take lobby money. They know that they can, you know, become lobbyists after they're done. Like it's just like this big revolving door. But if you took money out of that and they weren't allowed to take money from lobbyists and all that other stuff to basically, you know, fall on a sword for a bill, I think that would change things because you would have people that were looking to get in there that if there was no money, those money hungry people would be like, I'm not going to do it. There's no money in that. And you'd have real people getting in there that were, you know, and also taking it out of the, like you can buy a presidency. You literally can buy a presidency. That should not be the case.
Mm-hmm.
So money should be out of it completely.
I mean, look at Ross Perot. I mean, again, the only reason he got that far is because, well, first of all, he had a good message, but also he was a billionaire. He was self-funded. You know, but fortunately, like in the case of like Mayor, like Michael Bloomberg didn't go very far. You know, he was just spending millions of dollars on ads, on Facebook ads. And
but he wasn't likable. Like Ross.
Right. Highly unlikable. Yeah.
Rochelle Condon, $20. Thank you. New member Max Out 23. Tracy Nixon, $3.99. Super sticker. Thank you. Benjamin, new member. Tracy Nixon, $3.99. I look forward to this show every day.
Thank you, Tracy. I look forward to seeing you every day. Thank you, Tracy.
Marie Rose, new member. Welcome. Go ahead.
Oh, nothing. I just saw a super chat pop in here. But, Vicky Clayton, we'll get to it in a second.
$5. Super sticker. Thank you. Matthew Stusser, $10. Thank you. Kate T is a new member. Rachel Barton Spencer, $5. Thank you. Matthew Stusser, $10. Why didn't they steamroll through 2000 and do a proper shutdown instead of arguing over pennies? What do those who do not want these things to happen gain from America's suffering?
They gain money and influence. And you know, when you're helping poor people, for, you know, most members of the Senate, most members of Congress, they don't benefit from it when you help poor people. When you line the pockets of defense contractors and you build a new Boeing plant in your backyard or a new Raytheon plant or a new, you know, name the bomb building company, aircraft building company, that's the stuff they want their names on. And that's how they make money. That's how they stay in office. But, you know, helping poor Americans is not how they make money. That's why we need to remove money from politics.
Lisa Petit, $4.99. The thought of this channel being taken down makes my anxiety level go through the roof. Just saying.
Thank you, Lisa. I think it's Pettit. Is it Pettit?
Pettit, Petit.
But thank you, Lisa. It makes my anxiety level go through the roof to think that, you know, that's the thing. What some progressive channels have been, you know, been taken down. Like, you know, it's because we're not following in line. We're not falling in line with the mainstream media. So we get to cover the stories that you won't see on other networks. Do you think you're going to flip on MSNBC and they're going to have a story about the Green Party being kicked off the ticket by Democrats? No. Do you think that Fox is going to cover a story about Republicans kicking off libertarian candidates off the ticket because they don't like their message and they think they're siphoning votes away from the Republican Party? It's not going to happen. So we get to cover those stories here, but guess what? The powers that be are not a big fans of, you know, of us rocking the boat and telling the truth. So we got to be careful.
Teresa and Jay Shanley. Oh, that's another reason. Go get on the newsletter right there. Go to morninginvest.com and get on the newsletter so we can let you guys know if anything does happen. Because, like, I've seen a couple progressive channels that were taken down. And, you know, YouTube is basically the only place we know how to get a hold of you guys. So if you're not on the newsletter, you'd have no idea. When my account got suspended, I played a Senate hearing video on my channel. And my channel got suspended for 7 days. I had no way to let anybody know. I had paying members that I couldn't let know, like all the members. So because you couldn't post, no videos, no live streams. So make sure you're on the newsletter just in case something like that happens. Teresa and Jay Shanley, $5. Is there any info on how the student loan forgiveness would be applied to those who have more than $10,000 in student loans?
Not yet. We don't know yet. You know, we're still waiting on the final language. So the bill hasn't even left the Senate yet. It's supposed to go over to the House today. So I want to see the final bill, the final language, what it will be, if there's any changes to it, any tweaks to it, if members of the squad ended up trying to push to get this up to $50,000 in student loan forgiveness. We don't know. So let's see tomorrow if the House finally writes it up. I want to see the final bill before President Biden signs it. I don't know how it's going to be applied. And if it's going to be some sort of a tax credit, or if you'll be able to just get like a check back, or if, you know, I don't know, or if the or if your federal student loans under the program through the Department of Education will literally be just eliminated right off your bill. Like you'll just see a $10,000 credit on your student loan statement from the federal government. I don't know. So we don't know how this is going to come together. There's a lot of other unanswered questions also. We don't know about the child tax credit payment, like when that, how they say periodic. So will that be per week, per month, every quarter? We don't know. These are all answers we're still waiting on. So we'll get them to you. Don't worry.
Janet Yeager, $4.99. Thank you. Michelle Winters, $5. Will the stimulus package include $15,000 to $17,000 for new home buyers?
That's already available. That's not tied to, that's the home buyer tax credit. That's not tied to the stimulus. So the $15 first time home buyer tax credit is what that, I think it was increased. I think it was one of the first things Biden did. It was one of his executive orders, if I'm not mistaken. And this was pushed on by the National Association of Realtors. John Shanks is in our chat. I think one of our tax experts. Maybe you can weigh in on that, John. But I believe that was a presidential executive order, and I don't think it is tied to the stimulus. So $15,000 first-time homebuyer tax credit for a down payment.
Helen Gerchak, $20. Thank you. Have you heard about the HR 1533 bill?
Yes, Helen. I have heard of the HR 1533 bill. Are you talking about the older version that died? That would have added mental access for expanded mental illness services under Social Security? That bill died. Didn't get any votes, and so it died in committee. I think it was like brought up by Representative Gibson. But I remember covering that, but that was, unless there's a new, I don't know if they're using the same nomenclature or not, but that bill died as an expansion to Social Security access for mental illness, mental health care.
Mike Guerin, $5. So with the $1.9 bill, did they change the salary cap down to
$65,000? Sorry, I'm scrolling through here. Did they change the salary? So with the one point, did they change the salary cap down to $65K? No, and remember, it's not final yet. So the House could change that threshold. It was down to 80K for single filers from 100, dropped from 100 down to 80 for single filers. But again, it could change tomorrow. I mean, House Dems could switch that out, increase it again.
Socially Awkward Outdoors, $4.99. Where was our Space Force? They should have been on that. Remember the movie Spaceballs on the meteor?
Talking about the meteor?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where's our Space Force? Get up there. Right, what's going to happen when there's a bigger meteor than the size of a bowling ball? Like, what are we going to do? Get all of our guns trained on that thing and shoot some missiles at it. Get Bruce Willis and go up there. Land on it with a spacecraft, right?
Ann Poulos, new member, welcome. Suzette Lizik, $10. How much confidence do you have in cryptocurrency versus the dollar?
Well, the better question, I think, is how much confidence do I have in the dollar? And not very much. Look, I'm a history major. I was a history major in college. Every government currency in world history has collapsed. So it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Look at Venezuela yesterday. Venezuela's currency, the Bolivar, is now worthless. Worthless. And they're using dollars in Venezuela now because their own currency is crap. Now they're switching to a digital coin, a digital currency, as a hedge against this runaway inflation. So cryptocurrency is the people's currency. It's a decentralized currency that cannot be manipulated by any one government. So if on that alone, and the fact that blockchain is open source and you can see it and you know exactly what's transpiring and it's transparent and no one owns the blockchain, I mean, no one owns the system, and it's spread out all over the world, no one state actor can try to come in and stop that cryptocurrency. I have a lot of confidence in it. I mean, you know, it's what we give the value, it's what we deem valuable. So gold, right? What do you think about gold? It's what we as human beings, the value we give to gold, we hold it to be more valuable than a penny, copper, right? Which, by the way, if you have a coin after 1972, it's not even copper anymore. It's got like zinc. It's not even real copper anymore. So it's all fake. The US dollar, it's like all fake. It's fake currency, not tied to anything. Thank you, Suzette.
Bling B with the $2. What do you think about Dogecoin?
Dogecoin started as a meme coin with a Shiba Inu dog on the coin. I have a video here on the channel on sort of the history of Dogecoin. Again, it's the value you give something. Even the creator of Dogecoin thinks that it's not really... he said there's some unseemly characters who have now kind of been a part of the process behind the scenes of Dogecoin. Started as a joke, but then people started putting a lot of value in it. And now if you go to like Coinbase, it's one of the top apps. It's one of the top coins that they track on Coinbase. Let me go to my Coinbase account. I mean, let's see if I can pull it up here. Maybe not. Maybe it's not there anymore. Was there. Yeah. Oh, these are top movers at the time, I think. But yeah, it's routinely featured as a moving, you know, as a coin to trade. I did not buy any Dogecoin. I thought I might, but a friend of the show, who's a Bitcoin expert, said, stay away from that altcoin. There's not really a lot there is basically his point. It doesn't have the chutzpah as some of the other altcoins do.
Chutzpah. I just like that word. Mount Houston, Texas, $5. Enjoy your show, Clayton and David. Thank you for compassion.
Thank you so much. I couldn't do this show without you guys, so thank you for watching every day.
Budweiser like beer, never saw a dog pick. His name's Ice. Budweiser, Budwaizar. Sent in a pet photo and never saw it.
Oh, Budweiser. Okay, I'll check with my team, Budweiser. His name is Ice. Okay, I'll look for it. I'll check with my assistant and see where we are with that.
Brandon Lee Rivera, $5. Can you do Tom Hanks' voice again? It's spot on. Sounds like him. And thank you for the team for all you guys do. Okay, you guys, now listen. In chat, I want you to do me a favor. Everybody, as Clayton starts to do this impression, close your eyes, all right? And think about Forrest Gump. Close your eyes and think Forrest Gump. You're welcome. Okay, Clayton.
All right, ready? Everyone close your eyes. Those look like comfortable shoes. I bet if I remember real hard, I can remember my first pair of shoes. They was my running shoes. I was running. I feel like I sound like him, but I don't know if
no,
I do.
No, you sound exactly like him. It gives me goosebumps. It's so good.
It's crazy.
I mean, your voice naturally already sounds a bit like Tom Hanks. Like, after you did that impression, now when you talk, I just hear Tom Hanks.
Those look like comfortable shoes. Jenny.
Rachel Condone, $2.99. What is the income max for the stimulus again?
For single filer, you know, it peters out after 80,000 right now. Again, this could change overnight. It could change in the Senate. Right now it's for stimulus threshold for single filers is lowered. It got lowered in the House. So if you, sorry, it's not 75,000, excuse me. You know, the reason that it's 75,000 now instead of the 100 or 99 is thanks to Joe Manchin, basically. And fact that they lowered this number. So it's now been reduced. It's 75,000 for a single filer and 150 for a family filing jointly. Yeah, I don't even know where this came from, by the way. Like this idea of 75,000. Like I think from what I understood from the research, it came from an old President Bill Clinton proposal back in the 90s. It was called Back in the Contract with America, and it was part of the child tax credit at the time. And so this threshold has, like, that number, that 75,000 number, has been used by Washington think tanks since then, basically, under tax policy groups and things. So yeah, 75,000.
Angel Baby, Ashley Baby, new member, welcome. Deanna Zakarowitz, $4.99, thank you. Carol Meal, $5. Have you discussed Trump's cease and desist order? No one can use his name or image in any promotion or campaign. Strike against the Republicans.
Yes, we, if you are, I hope you're reading our newsletter. Please subscribe to our daily free newsletter. That's one of the stories we wrote about. We had a follow-up story in there today, actually, where President Trump sent a cease and desist letter to the Republican Party to stop using his name and likeness in their promotion material. They're raising millions of dollars using his face and using his name, and he has nothing to do with it. He's not been asked to be a participant in it, etc. So he asked them to stop using it, and they've said no, basically. So they're going to continue to fundraise off of his face and his orange hair.
Say said $2. Electoral College prevents third parties to get 270. Chris Santos. Yeah, I don't know how that would.
I don't know how that would happen. I mean, Electoral College is just a, it's based on the electors from that state and whoever wins on those ballots in those particular states.
Chris Santos, $4.99. Thank you. James Johnson, $5. How would the $15 minimum wage affect truck drivers since we get paid by the mile?
It wouldn't. I mean, do you get a flat salary? Are you only paid by the mile? Do you not get a flat salary? Are you considered a contract employee? Are you considered, because it would be different for contract employees, I think, but if you're paid, I don't know. It's a good question. Yeah. I guess you have to answer my question, James. Do you make, do you get a flat salary? Like when you're a waitress or a waiter in the food services industry, you typically would get like a pre-tip salary, like $2.33. And then you make tips on top of it.
So people are saying it only affects hourly employees. It's all different for truckers.
Okay. Okay.
Travis hires
some truckers are hourly. King Vortex says some truck drivers are hourly.
Yeah, it probably just depends on the company you work for and the contract you have in place. Like, probably a lot of variables to that one.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
Travis hires $9.99. From your time on Fox News, did you find them to be more radical of the networks? The more radical of the networks.
I don't know. I didn't find anybody to be any more radical than anybody else. I mean, look, when you work for a corporation, you work for a billionaire. You work for billionaire corporations. You know, when I started on that show, I started on a morning show. I got hired to have a young, fun, hip morning show, and where we would do. I would cover technology, and we'd do fun segments and fun cultural discussions and talking points and things like that. And then as it just became way more political, and of course the politics in this country devolved And that's when I just wanted to leave. You know, I just didn't want to be, I just didn't want to be a part of that, that discussion in that way anymore. So they weren't any more radical than anybody else. I mean, and what does it mean to be radical?
I don't know. I kind of consider, Rachel, what's her? Rachel Maddow to be like Alex Jones level conspiracy theorist on the Russia thing. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like she's radical about the Russia thing. So I think there are like some radical players mixed in there, but I don't think it's like a whole, I've not like a whole network, maybe own.
Yeah. I mean, I would flip on, you know, like and see, it's a show I never watched, but I never watched like Sean Hannity, but occasionally I'd see segments and I'm like, really? This guy's on our network, you know. Like I was like, really? And then I watched Shepard Smith, who I think is one of the best news anchors to ever live, cover the news and did an amazing job. Because I was a news guy, you know, I love politics, but I, you know, and so to handle breaking news and all of those things, we had some great reporters and just you know, you can't really in that situation, you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater, you know. Because there's a lot of people, I worked with some great anchors like Allison Camerata, who is one of my favorite co-hosts to ever anchor a show with. So I had a lot of fun, but it was time for me to. I was done.
Yeah, I think the same thing. I mean, I like Shepard, and then there's also Chris Wallace. I feel like he's pretty, and Brett Baer. I feel like those guys are pretty, you know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Brett Baer. I think he was always a very fair, fair journalist. But then you have the people that you know have an axe to grind. You know, they have an agenda, and so.
King Vortex Gaming, $5. Is the printer fixed?
What printer?
I don't know.
What printer, King? I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, my printer has
maybe they're talking broken. About printing the money. I don't know. Maybe.
Jeremy Gerber, $5. Hello, buddy. How are you today, buddy?
I'm doing well, buddy. Thank you, Jeremy.
Melody Overton, $5. I am on unemployment. Should I get them done again? Not sure what you mean.
On unemployment. Yeah, not sure what you mean by that.
Yeah, Melody, if you could elaborate a little bit.
I'm on employment. Should I get them done again? Your taxes, you mean, maybe? Oh, the printer in the Senate, Billy is saying. I get it now. Okay. Like, yeah, couldn't they print this thing out 600 pages and walk it over to the House of Representatives? It's so antiquated, too. Can't you just, like, send them a PDF? Like, here's a PDF. Like, why do we have to waste 600 pages for you to print this thing out?
Well, and not just 600 pages. Like, how many people get a copy of those 600 pages, you know?
Right. Exactly. Like they do with the budget. You know how they print that thing out? It's like that big phone book. And it's they like print that out in Washington. What a waste.
It's like they kill an Adirondack tree every day in Washington.
Yeah.
Diana Zarkowitz again. $4.99. Look at big oil for the reason why we are not developing clean transportation.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. In the same way that there was the big push, of course, for the interstate highway system instead of, instead of a rail system in the United States. It's because the tire lobby won out. The Firestone tire lobby. I think it was Firestone. It might have been Goodyear, but I think it was Firestone. Basically, like, hey, then we'll be crushing it with the amount of tires that we have to make constantly, burning rubber, so that we have to truck things everywhere instead of have a rail system that works. Talk about the inefficiencies.
Susan Shank, new member. Dwayne Gloria, $1. Thank you. Dale Newhall, new member. William House, new member. Jody DeTunk, Movement for the People's Party, $2.
A People's Party. Yeah. There is some movement there. I wish we could get more legs for the People's Party. I'd love to have Jimmy Dore on the show to talk about the People's Party. I know he's a big advocate.
Yeah, we'll work on that. Natasha Fralin, $4.99. Is if there's any changes in the House, does it have to go back to the Senate? I heard somewhere that it definitely does.
It depends. They don't have to send the full bill back. They can literally send the amended pieces back. So it's not as, it doesn't have to go through the same rigmarole that we just went through. It's a smaller process, but it still would have to go back for them to approve that particular piece or change, if I'm not mistaken. It's a complicated little process.
Helen Gerchek, another $5. Thank you. Andy Alberto, $1.99. Thank you. A Blessed Worshipper, $1. Thank you. Talking Tax, John, $5. I know this is out of the scope of today's show, but I've seen something on YouTube about the George Floyd killing, and they are starting jury selection.
Yeah. They have. And they've already moved against... so the Derek Chauvin, who is the main guy at the center of that, of course. I mean, they are on tenterhooks in Minnesota over this, and the jury selection and what happens. So the first jury selection is happening for one of the first officers now, and Derek Chauvin is next right now while he awaits trial. By the way, I think it was Alice who sent me that tenterhooks email. Trying to pull up the email. I got over 200 this morning, so.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeremy Lawson, you were going to talk about Dogecoin?
Oh, I did. I did talk about Dogecoin just a few minutes ago.
Darshell Williams Durr, $2. Amount of student loan help in package, love and share. You know the amount of the student loan help in this package? It's not in this package.
$10,000.
Is it in the one that just passed?
The student loan forgiveness, yeah.
Andy Alberto, $1.99. If I made $80,000 a year, life would be a little easier.
Yeah.
Sharon Taylor, $10. Who is Sheila Jackson Lee, okay? Because she is trying to stop sale of gun shells that are over a 410, okay? And that would hurt people here in Kentucky because you can't kill a deer with a 410, okay?
She's a representative, Sheila Jackson Lee, from Texas.
And you can still pick up a bow and arrow. Travis Hires, $9.99. If we can't trust our networks, who can we trust? And what is a good source of information? And from your experience on Fox News, was it the more radical? Oh, already answered that one. But who are some networks that you actually trust? Networks or independent individual shows on any network?
I don't. I'm sorry.
I mean, I get all my news from YouTube, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, I pick my sources. I read. I think, you know, what I do is I read a lot. I read, you know, a lot of different sources. Nation of Change is a good website. Nation of Change.org. But YouTube, get a lot of good information from The Hill. They do a good job covering politics. Yeah, friends over at The Rising and Crystal Ball and Sagar and Jetty. Kyle Kalinske over at Secular Talk does a great job. I think those are some good sources. I think just reading, finding like really good sources. I look through my newsreader feed. I've got a feed set up that I read like hundreds of articles a week from. I don't know, I have it on this device. I'm just going to pull it up here. But I've got there's a lot of different good progressive websites. I think, you know, Democracy Now! Is good to get some good news there as well. I read the Financial Times. I think Axios does a good job. I think Axios does a pretty good job at axios.com. They do a pretty good job.
Style.
Yeah. Mike Allen, of course, Mike Allen, who used to write the playbook and now is works at Axios. Mike Allen was one of the most plugged in people in DC. He just did that interview with Joe Manchin on HBO the other night. And I also read a lot of international news too, like the Canary is a really good independent media organization out of the UK. You might find it's called the canary.co.
I'm also a fan of Joe Rogan.
So that's a really,
I feel like Joe Rogan interviews a lot of good people.
So, and then, of course, there's a bunch of different.
You got Alex Jones from InfoWars. I mean, that guy's like, you want legit news? And I'm kidding about that.
Did you see he came out? He came out yesterday and said that he's done with Trump and he wishes that he never met the guy.
Yeah.
Oh, isn't that convenient? Yeah. I think another good website. We've had David Day in here on the show. Another good website is prospect.org, the American Prospect. David Dayan, who's a really good reporter, writes over there. And I should also mention Glenn Greenwald. I mean, Glenn Greenwald does an amazing job. You can read his stuff on his own Substack is a good place to go, too.
Oh, yeah, Substack with Glenn Greenwald. He's another great journalist.
Yeah.
Anitra Johnson, $5. I have fibromyalgia and I have been denied for disability. I can't work because of my blackouts and I can't get insurance. What can I do to get help?
I mean, are you able to file for any kind of Social Security disability? If you can't work and you have this disability, I mean, you should be able to file to get disability payments. I would also contact your state. Each state has different benefits available.
Yeah, I was going to say that seems like maybe a more localized thing than federal.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. And look, this is why we need Medicare for all in the United States. This is why we need representatives that support healthcare for all Americans. This exact reason right here. The fact that you even have to ask that question is upsetting. I'm sorry, Anitra.
Don't have to ask those questions because they've got government-provided health care. They've got what we're asking for.
Yeah, and if she's over 50, she already qualifies, Cal. Cal Jones says in our chat. Exactly. Anitra, are you over 50? London's mom rock says, get a lawyer to help you get it. My mom had to. They have them for free. So you should be able to get some support.
Ms. Estevez, member. Welcome, new member. Gail Electric, LeClerc, $4.99. Did you hear on the new thing house upping the rent, counting 300 unemployment, counting as earned income? Counting the $300.
I've heard
earned income.
Counting as earned income. The unemployment benefits as earned income. I don't know if that's. So unemployment benefits count as earned income. And again, I want to wait till tomorrow until we have a final bill.
We got Patricia Brown.
I don't know.
Heidi Sewell. Patricia Brown. Oh, Patricia Brown became a member. Heidi Sewell became a member. Then Patricia Brown upgraded to gold. So thank you. Love and Light Paranormal.
Okay, so no, the unemployment benefits do not count as earned income. So according to the IRS website, the IRS defines earned income as the compensation you receive from employment and self-employment. Specifically excluded from this definition is any unemployment compensation. Hope that answers that.
James Kopp, $4.99. How many people here sit through hours of watching congressional votes? I find myself doing it. Don't I live a charmed life? I wish more people would. Michael Smith, Chris Droner,
new members. Welcome. Michelle Edwards, $2. Thank you, Clayton. I just signed up for Webull.
Awesome.
A blessed worshiper, $5. It's worth mentioning the new stimulus package has $19 billion for rental, utility, and home energy assistance, $10 billion for homeowner assistance, and $1.15 billion for SNAP.
Yeah, that's great. And we're going to go through the whole final bill this week. So when we have all of the final details, I will go through it.
Say it's saying $2.
I'm seeing conflicting things about... Sorry, I'm seeing some conflicting things about this this unemployment issue. It doesn't, according to the IRS's website, it does not count as earned income. But under the CARES Act, and they may have revised it. That's what I want to wait and see if the House, if they in this latest bill revised it, because the previous CARES Act that President Trump signed into law on March 27th of last year, that $600 that people were receiving was taxable. So I don't know if they've switched this. So I'll have the answers for you this week, and I'm going to talk to one of the smartest tax accountants in the country about it this afternoon.
A blessed worshiper, $5. It's worth mentioning the news. Oh, wait, sorry, I already read that one. Say $2, no loan forgiveness, only on taxes if forgiven. I'm not sure what that's referring to. Scott Beringer, $2. Thank you. Brick Top, $5. Morning Rising on the Hill YouTube channel is fantastic with Crystal Barra, Sagar, and Jetty. Check it out. I agree.
Yeah, it's just called The Rising. It's not called Morning Rising.
Yeah. Brant Ferrer, $2.
But yeah, they do a great job.
Buenos dias. Love your show, guys. Watch every day.
And I used to interview Crystal all the time. Crystal was a regular on my old show. So I actually just messaged Crystal last night. I said, hey, let's have you get back. I would love to have you come on the show.
Brian Lee Endress, new member, welcome. Tony Joslin, $4.99. Where can I get updates on Bitcoin's prices on an hourly, or minute basis?
I'll put a link to it. Let's see. I think you should use this app. Let me tell you the, hold on 1 second. I think I have it set up here. Oh, let me think. I have it morninginvest.com/crypto. Yes. Okay. Go to morninginvest.com/crypto. And that will take you to an app called Binance that I use. Now, there's a UK version and there's a US version. I use the UK version with a VPN because there's additional altcoins that I'm able to use. So I know this is a little high level stuff here. If you don't want to worry, just use that link and sign up for it. But if you want to get in some of the different altcoins, then you're going to want to use the UK version, the non-US based Binance app. But right inside the app, and then let me pull up my Binance account here. So, and then right inside the account there, oops, sorry. You can set your different alerts. You can set for which pairs you want to follow. You can do all of that. That's a good place to do it. Binance, but go to morninginvest.com/Binance.
Oh, I thought it was
I set up a redirect
crypto
for you.
Didn't you say it was morninginvest.com?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. /crypto/crypto. Morninginvest.com/crypto. Oh, thank you.
And then we got Scott Beringer with $1 super chat. Alan Walker, new member, and Gumbu Black, $5. And that's it. That concludes the super chats.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for an awesome show today. I really appreciate it. We'll be back tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern. We'll be premiering a new video, and we'll be live in the chat talking about the wealth tax, and there's some new information about this wealth tax and how it could be transformative. We're going to hear from Elizabeth Warren on that, and some Republicans are fighting back on this. We're going to get into the wealth tax tonight. So please join us. Please be sure to subscribe to the channel and turn on that little bell notification so you'll be notified when we go live. I really appreciate all of you. Don't steal the cheese, man.
Do not steal the cheese.
Cheese. Much love to all of you. Thank you guys for joining us today. I really appreciate it. And we will see you back here tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Buenos dias, everyone.
I think on the way out, you need to tell us what your mama said life was like.
You know, mama always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. I was running. You know, if I remember real hard, I could remember my first pair of shoes.